I'm Sandy Toksvig, and welcome to this edition of the News Quiz Extra. You know, some people prefer a slightly more size zero approach to their listening, but who could say no to this voluptuous, curvaceous figure standing before you? I don't know about you, but I always prefer my satire with a little bit of junk in the trunk. Let's have a listen.
We present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
To the News Quiz, we start with a cutting from the Bedford News, read by Neil Sleet.
A man who ran completely naked through Bedford city centre has been arrested by police. One eyewitness, who didn't want to be named, said it looked like it was cold.
And our thanks to Kath Jacobs for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Bob Mills. And opposite them on my left, Matt Ford and Susan Kalman. Jeremy, who is anticipating a Greek tragedy?
Oh, it's all gone mental. Everyone's getting hysterical about the Grexit. And Mervyn King, the governor of the Bank of England, made this weird, shambling speech with lots of nautical metaphor in it about how the economy was a ship in turbulent waters, failing to draw the parallel between George Osborne and a U-boat in the scenario. And then Cameron made a speech about the Eurozone saying it's time to make up or break up. And I thought, I've never thought in politics that making it rhyme makes it true. That's why I've never liked demonstrations, because the fact that something rhymes with 2, 4, 6, 8 isn't that convincing to me, to be honest. But it's a proper how do you do the scenario. Greece is going to get kicked out of the Euro, and then Spain will go a bit wobbly, and then the whole thing will collapse. And you think, what? We'll all still be here. Everything in Europe will still be more or less where it is now. We'll have eaten some food. We'll have been to the lavatory. Everything will be as it was, except the entire financial system will have collapsed. It's mad. What are we doing, human beings? We're so clever in some ways, and sometimes I just think we're just apes with broadband. What are we doing? We've created this extraordinary world. We've got carpets. We've got... And not always. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have sanded floors. But we've got all this stuff. And what is money? It's only bits of paper. I think we peaked at flint tools, to be honest. We were going great guns. We thought, oh, bits of rock, you can make an axe out of that. What's an axe? I don't know, but let's give it a go. And we did that, and then Spinning Jenny discovered steam at the Battle of Cardigan. And, I mean, the friendly society is quite a good idea, but it's all just gone a bit wrong, hasn't it, really? And
well, that's all we've got time for.
Go to Greece. They've got nice bread, they've got nice cheese, they've got nice vegetables. One of the happiest days I've ever spent was an afternoon up in the mountains of Crete drinking raki and coffee off your face. Really strong alcohol, really strong coffee, talking to Cretan villagers, and they'd show you the cliffs where the Germans used to throw the villagers off during the war. And actually, maybe they should take Angela Merkel up there and maybe she'd... give them more money and stop giving them such a hard time. I think that Germany should just bail everybody out and we'll just call it continued reparations.
It's actually quite a popular suggestion.
I love the guy who's smart-looking guy, looks like a Topman advert, who's going to be in charge of Greece. He's a real dapper little fella. And I love his attitude, which he said, yeah, don't worry about it, I'll win the election. Don't worry about those debts, we're not going to pay them. And then said, well, if you do that, we'll throw you out the euro. And he said, no, you won't. Because I've had a look at how things work, and it'll hurt you more than it hurts us.
Do you know, I once went to a dinner, and they had this German economist on, and then they were going to have a Greek economist on. So the German got up, and he did about 15 minutes about how it wasn't Germany's fault, and Germany was going to be the one to save Europe, and da-da-da-da. And the Greek guy got up, and he said, what can I tell you? We spent a lot of money. We had a really good time. Probably if you bail us out, we'll do it again. And in that moment, everybody in the room thought, do you know, I'd rather be Greek.
But there's quite a lot of posturing going on, clearly. Quite a lot of alpha male posturing apart from Angela Merkel, although... And there's quite a lot of posturing. I mean, David Cameron said he would stop at nothing to protect Britain's interest, etc., etc., which kind of... gave mine to David Cameron, kind of in a white vest like John McClane in Die Hard, just standing at the White Cliffs of Dover going, "You will not take our pound." I'd like to see it.
But it is no wonder that the Greek economy is in a mess. I mean, we are struggling to pay for the Olympics, and they paid for the first few hundred, didn't they? I mean,
the only way I can ever understand what's happening in the Eurozone, because it's quite odd, is essentially all of Europe went on a Christmas night out, yeah, right? And we all had to put some money in the kitty, right? And Greece went, yeah, right. But they never put anything in the kitty. No. And now Anglers...
Yeah, but they only had a half, though.
Fair dues, but you've still got to put in 20 quid. As anyone knows on a night out, even if you're drinking softies, you still have to put in 20 quid. Do you know what I mean? And now Anglers there with the waiter, and the waiter's going, can I have the £100 for the hummus? And
can I just say, Matt, your first time on the show, that Susan's not catching in any way whatsoever.
Well, this is the great thing about the rebate, is that at least we get our cab fare own.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Are you interested in finance, Matt? Is it something that interests you? No. See, it's really hard to get all that excited and interested, isn't it?
Well, I don't think anyone's actually studied economics to the level at which they can understand what's happened.
Yeah.
Economics was never meant to go this far. The market was always just meant to correct itself.
Yeah, but you see, to me, it seems rather simple. Because Germany, right, they export cars, the Japanese televisions, the Greeks, philosophy and yoghurt. How are you going to make money?
Yeah. I'll tell you what's going to happen in Europe, shall I?
Go on.
Yeah.
Justice is going to happen. the Greeks are going to bail out. That's going to lead to the Italians bailing out. They're going to go bankrupt. Then the Portuguese are going to go bankrupt. And then the Spanish are going to go bankrupt. And then the Spanish are going to come to us saying, we've gone bankrupt. Can we borrow some money off you? And we're going to say, no. Because if your queen can't come to lunch with our queen...
Ah, well... curiously, we may come on to that. Yes. Can I just say that I have done my bit for the Greek economy. I've bought a Greek island. It came free with a pack of halloumi.
Everyone's in Greece is pulling their money out of the bank because they're worried it will be turned into drachmas, it will be worth less. They thought, keep it as euros and keep cash in the house, which means there's going to be a massive spate of burglaries throughout Greece because everyone's going to have millions of euros in their house. But people say you should transfer money into something that holds its value. Action figures, apparently. No. Years ago, an anarchist friend of mine told me the entire financial system was going to collapse, and I took all my money out of the bank and bought loads and loads of action figures, but he didn't tell me you've got to keep them in their packaging. They're completely worth... I thought they're fun. An investment that's fun. What could be better than that unless you keep them in their packaging? Capitalism is about as rational as that.
I love the idea that you leave the studio and go immediately to play with your action figures. Actually, I blame the British for the whole Greek thing. Because between the Elgin Marbles and George Michael, the British have pretty much got everything of value that Greek has. Don't often hear the Elgin Marbles and George Michael in the same sentence.
What happened to the lady with the big glasses?
Nana Mouskouri.
Oh, yeah.
We love Nana Mouskouri.
She's fabulous.
Didn't she make a hit single, Get Them Out of Trouble?
Yes. She could team up with Vangelis. Demis is gone, isn't he?
Yeah.
But do a Live Aid Greece thing. George Michael, Nana Mouskouri.
And the bloke and his strange child who were in Britain's Got Talent. They could
The Stavros Flatley.
Now we're talking.
We can do this.
Yes. There's continued speculation that Greece will have to leave the euro, threatening another global financial crisis. Greece is currently suffering a double-dip recession in which neither hummus nor tiramisu salata are selling well.
Hummus isn't Greek, it's Middle Eastern. No, that, you see, I blame...
Yes, but it's a dip.
Double-dip.
Yeah, but the point is... if you go...
It's a double dip.
Oh. No, but the point is, we've done that joke 80 times on the News Quiz before, and our audience, thankfully, are too old to remember. And B, if you go to Marks and Spock's, their Greek-inspired range has falafels, crepe Suzette, Kendall mint cake, and salt beef in it. And so I think it's important for the Middle East that we recognise that hummus is from them. And not from the Greeks.
That's good. You've got one person who agrees. Okay, excellent. Athens this week swore in a caretaker prime minister. Well, they've tried economists and politicians. They may as well try a bloke with a brush.
You're great having a prime minister saying, "Oh yes, I was in Birmingham, you know. Oh yeah. Oh
yeah." 2 points to Jeremy. Bob, listen to this. Bob, which witch hunt saw red this week?
I don't know what that was at all.
Oh, Jim, well then, Charlie Brooks.
No,
says
no,
he
the record. Do you want to know what the record
yes,
was?
Yes, I know what the subject is. I didn't know what the record
it was called, and it's one of my favourites.
I can't think what record could have been relevant to
this.
Yeah,
it's called Get Myself Arrested, and it's by Gomez.
Oh.
The thing, I wouldn't worry about it because almost never they send out the actual record on the broadcast. Almost never.
Good.
So just
good.
I'll just do the question for you.
Do.
So, without the benefit of any musical clue, Bob. Bob, which witch hunt saw red this week?
Right. So this is Rebecca, is it?
Yes.
Rebecca Brooks, is it now?
It is. Yes. Yeah.
Who's victim of a witch hunt? And I just think, if you look like that, seriously, there are some phrases you should steer clear of.
I think it was her husband who said it was a witch hunt.
Yeah.
Charlie Brooks said...
He would know her better than anybody else, yeah. I suppose. That's
the... Well, what I like, he said his wife is a victim of a witch hunt and he's a scapegoat. Now, I...
So she's been arrested for... what is it? It's a rather serious crime. Is it conspiring to pervert...
Perverting the course of justice. Do you not think it's a fascinating case? I mean, I do wish there was some way of knowing what she's saying in private. I just think it would be so interesting.
I tell you what, when that case comes up, there's going to be nobody trying to get off jury service, is there? he'll say, you can't go, I've got a lot of orders coming in. I'm doing it, boss, I'm doing it.
I quite liked, after the story broke, Wednesday's papers all ran with this story on the front page, except, oddly enough, for The Sun, which went with beauty banged up for bunk up in back of Dubai cab. I mean, what a shame, they missed the top story. Maybe their internet was down or something, I don't know what happened.
Of it, of course, from the testimony in the Leveson. The affectionate way that certain politicians and Rebecca Brooks behave towards one another.
Okay, so I'll give an extra point to anybody who knows who she shared a double seat with.
Oh, Jack Straw.
Jack Straw.
Very good. Oh, that was in first. Yes, very good. What's the story?
They would regularly get the same train from Oxford, and Jack and Rebecca said, why don't we sit next to each other? And sometimes they would talk, sometimes they would do their work.
But is it not... a problem with this country that everyone sees conspiracies around the country. I get on at this stop and you get on the next stop.
Yeah.
Oh, should we sit together and we'll have a chat? Ooh.
No, that's not the worst of it. It wasn't the fact that they were chatting. They were doing it in the quiet carriage. I do think...
Well,
let's get some perspective here, people.
That is a crime itself. But it wasn't so much that. It was the fact that they would arrange to meet with each other and then they would have a gossip. That was the thing. Like, they were sitting with a magazine going, oh, she has put on weight, bikini bodies.
But do you not think that the Home Secretary and the... What was she then? Editor of The Sun could have something more to talk about than... They gossiped about personalities and presumably where they could both get one. I mean...
If anyone can get a confession out of a suspect, it's Jack Straw.
Yes, but he...
She's lucky she wasn't on a plane to Bagram Air Base with a hood over her head.
Gossip's not the right word for a man who's... I mean, he held Home Office, Foreign Office. The last thing I want from a man who's meant to be in charge of one of the four major officers of state is him going, and you'll never guess what Gordon said. That is not the way cabinet is meant to be conducted.
No, it's distressing, isn't it?
It is distressing. What I find most distressing is the fact that I've got a crush on Rebecca Brooks.
Do you know what, Matt? I see you in a new light suddenly.
A very dark light.
It does happen sometimes, Virginia Bottomley.
Yeah.
I know it's wrong, but it does happen. It does. It's just that thing.
Definitely.
You know it's wrong, you know it's dirty, you're just drawn to it.
Edwina Curry. There are so many.
No, stop. You had to go too far.
I was about to jump in and talk to you there, but you just... You know there's a line, and that was the line.
No, I think the line is Nadine Dorries. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Absolutely, Nadine Dorries. I've tried to narrow down in my mind.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like I have a type, but clearly what my type is someone who's quite well-educated, wears a power suit, and is stubborn about our membership of the EU. And that is what I want in a woman.
Do you know, I've never seen that in A Lonely Hearts Air.
No.
Are you single at the moment, Matt?
Yep.
Yeah. Former News of the World editor Rebecca Brooks and her husband Charlie have been charged with perverting the course of justice in the phone hacking affair that has engulfed News International and Westminster. Mrs. Brooks thought the decision to prosecute her and her husband was unjust and weak, which are coincidentally also their pet names for each other. 2 points to Bob. Matt, who no longer stands to benefit if they can stand?
The disabled. Ian Duncan Smith, the Secretary of State for Work and Pensions, has announced this week. And a very odd phrase that he said, the disabled, even those who've lost a limb, so just to be clear, could now have their benefits reduced. They're talking about 500,000 people are going to lose their benefits. The reason why this government keeps coming up with so many different bad ideas is because they're trying to be green, they're ditching their car, they're remoding, as we heard this week. They're having to walk down the high street. This means they're coming into contact with things, and that's where they get their ideas from. So they walk past a Greggs and they think, maybe I could get some tax from that. They'll see a poster for the Paralympics and think, I've got it.
So is it a
I've got an idea.
Do you think it's a tactic to discourage disabled people from coming to Britain so that we can win the Paralympics? Is that...
Well, perhaps, I think to try and be sympathetic to Ian Duncan Smith, he's obviously under pressure for budgets. That's why the Tories are doing most of the things they're doing. These things are financial pressures. Ian Duncan Smith, to be fair, set up the Centre for Social Justice, done a fair bit of thinking on this area. What I do find rather ironic is that the man who described himself as the quiet man of politics is now going after people with hearing aids. Absolutely no chance of hearing what he says.
It is brave stuff. I mean, I don't think anybody else has ever tried to canvass for the anti-limbless veteran vote before. It's a new area.
So. But he couches it in terms of wanting to help people, which possibly he does. But he says, by leaving people on benefits or giving them benefits, he says, we're letting them fester, which is different, because if you take the benefits away, well, then you let them rot, which is subtly, subtly different. It takes longer.
He's been put in this terrible position by Osborne and Cameron, right? Because he's the only one. They look around the cabinet and they see him and they think, everyone likes you, don't they? Because you've got that. Even people on the left think, oh, well, he's a decent bloke, his heart's in the right. What can we do to really make you look as bad as us? Get rid of the disabled people. That's your job. And he's been having this terrible poison chalice. And what he's trying to get away from is when you used to get travel insurance, they used to send you a list. They don't do it anymore because they realised it was a bit insensitive. But what they'd pay you...
Yeah,
how much
if you lost a foot?
For a foot, a toe,
yeah,
a leg. And, yeah. And it was a different... And it was almost like a restaurant. It was like a menu. Because you'd be on holiday and you'd done all your money on the first night and you'd think... I could pick up 200.
500,000 people are expected to lose benefits worth over £100 a week thanks to a reassessment of disability living allowance by Work and Pensions Secretary Ian Duncan Smith. IDS argued that someone shouldn't automatically receive a benefit just because they had lost a limb. Well, quite right. Why should they get any support? No one's giving Ian Duncan Smith any extra special treatment and he's lost all his hair. So 2 points to Matt. Susan, who declined an invitation from the Queen owing to a rocky relationship?
Well, the Queen of the United Kingdom is having a bit of a do at Windsor. She's having a wee bit of a party and she's invited some of her friends and some dictators along. And she's having a bit of a party to celebrate her jubilee and she invited Queen Sophia of Spain, as you do, as she is the Queen of Spain. And Queen Sophia initially said, yes, love to come, Queen. Are you having vol-au-vents, right? And she said she would come. And then the government or somebody said to Queen Sophia, you can't go because of Gibraltar, partly because the Earl and Countess of Wessex are going.
Yes.
For a trip, camping trip, don't
she's
know.
She's sending Prince Edward to Gibraltar for the Jubilee celebrations. Now, that is a snub, I think.
And so Queen Sophia is not going to the Queen's party on Friday, which I don't know if she's particularly bothered about it.
Of course she wants to go at the party. She's a little-known monarch. She don't get invited to a lot.
So is it like Danny Minogue wanting to go to all the parties Kylie goes
yes,
to?
Yes, of course.
It's a lesser known
and Minogue she said, the proper queen, because I think that's how she's known in Europe, has invited me. They've got a proper big palace and everything. Oh, it's going to be lovely. And she's bought herself a new frock. And then her government, her ministers, have said, oh, you can't go there, because we're having a rut with them about your bot. And she's always like, oh, can't you leave it just for today? She'll have, like, Ferrero Rocher after. There'll be all sorts of stuff. I'm sitting here having chorizo. I want to go a proper thing. And they have forbade her from going. That's what they've done.
You can see the point about Gibraltar. I mean, seen from space, it looks remarkably like a part of Spain. It does border Andalusia and North Sussex.
Yeah, but it's ours, though, isn't it?
I used to be friends with Patrick Litchfield, wonderful photographer, and he told me a wonderful story about the Queen attending a wedding at Hampton Court, and it was the first time that all of the crowned heads of Europe, this lunch has got all the crowned heads of Europe there, and this particular thing, this wedding, all the crowned heads of Europe were going to be there, and apparently Her Majesty said to Patrick, now you'll know everybody, Patrick, you've photographed everybody before, apart from Queen Catherine of Greece, she's very, very elderly, she'll be the one in the wheelchair. And he said, oh, fine, okay. So he's there, and he said, it's very difficult to organise kings and queens, because everybody's called sir and mom, so he was busy organising, and he saw a little old lady in the wheelchair over by the door, and he just pushed her into the picture, and he took the original Polaroid that you take just to make sure the picture's all right. And the Queen said, Patrick, who's that woman? Patrick said, Princess Catherine of Greece. No, it is. I've never seen that woman before. And it turned out that somebody doing a tour of Hampton Court had wanted to go to the toilet, and he'd pushed his mother through a door just to keep her, you know, while he was going to the lavatory. And so some woman, I think she was from Banstead in Surrey or somewhere. And so very kindly the Queen gave her a photograph, and this woman had a photograph of herself with all the crown heads. I'm going to give an extra point to anybody who knows what the problem is with the bank holiday Jubilee weekend that we're having. Does anybody know what the main problem is?
It's amazing because you get to drink for four whole days.
It will be used as yet another excuse for the recession.
Well, I will give you a point for that, yes. apparently it could knock half a percentage point off growth in the April to May period, which I find incredible because the bank holiday falls in June. Queen Sofia of Spain has cancelled a visit to the UK marking Queen Elizabeth's Diamond Jubilee because of disputes over Gibraltar. Kings and queens from around the world are due to gather for dinner to celebrate the occasion. The celebration will be held at Windsor Castle, which is especially handy for the Danish royal family, who can always rely on free accommodation at neighbouring Legoland. There is concern that the Spanish Queen's failure to attend will upset the seating plan, which is very difficult with an event like this, where much effort is put into ensuring no one sits next to someone they might offend. Traditionally, Philip eats his dinner on a tray in the hall. And at the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Bob have got 5 points, but so too have Matt and Susan. We start round two with a film description from the Radio Times.
Iron Sky, 15. The President of the United States and his aide, a black male model, discover a secret Nazi base on the moon, which is preparing a futuristic assault on the Earth. Based on a true story.
thanks to Janice Devon for sending us that. Bob, who's not been afraid to let his support out of the closet?
Oh, is this the president, Barrack?
Barrack.
What has he said, that I'm in favour of gay marriage?
He said, I don't mind.
Yeah. That's what he said. Yeah. I don't think he said, you all have to be gay and you have to get married, or all gays have to get married. He hasn't passed the law. He's just said, seems to me quite a reasonable thing. That, you know, fine. But Mitt Romney, has taken this as a weapon. This should be the weapon to drive him out of the White House. Mitt gave a speech to some university and said, it's outrageous. It's outrageous. This is the line that he's reached, that we, the American people, cannot let him cross, because marriage is between one man and one woman. Right. I thought Mitt was a Mormon.
Yeah.
I think you'll find marriage, Mitt, is between one man and one woman and then another woman.
Yep.
And her sister and another woman. So it's a weird thing, the whole gay marriage thing, because...
Oh, the eyes.
And when I say weird, I mean wonderful.
It was just another word
W in, yeah. Was it? Yeah.
No, I don't know what it is that makes people so angry about it. I genuinely don't. And I'm slightly to the right of centre, and I have certain views on certain things. I can't understand why it makes people so angry, but it does. And in America, it makes them terribly angry. And you know who's the only person who's come out of this particular little debate with any great credit? Hmm. I give you Mr. Eric Pickles. Mr. Eric Pickles, yeah. Who everyone looks at as the face of bloated conservatism there. Eric Pickles, when questioned about it, said, seems to me, if nothing else, they should be allowed to do it. It seems good manners. And that's kind of it, isn't it?
I love the idea that anybody thought to ask Eric Pickles in the first place.
They asked Eric.
My favourite government reaction wasn't Eric Pickles, it was Philip Hammond. And his position on it is that we're just too busy at the moment.
Yeah.
And I think poor old Philip misunderstood and thought that he had to organise the wedding. I've got this banking bill to sort out, NHS reforms, bloody gay wedding to be getting on with.
To be honest, I've been with my partner now for 9 years. I believe I should have the same rights as my sister or my brother did to marry my...
Your sister and brother are married?
Yes. But the same rights as anyone else, and we're getting unwedded because we can't say married on the 3rd of June. And it's astonishing when you kind of go into it all, what we're allowed to do. So we're not allowed to say the word marry, for example. We're not allowed the Pamir's poem, I'll marry you. We're not allowed to come down the aisle to the Proclaimers, Let's Get Married. I can come down the aisle to Darth Vader's Death March if I want to. But I'm not allowed the Proclaimers. And trying to organise a gay wedding in Glasgow is like being a vegan in an abattoir. It's not an easy thing to do.
Fair play to you for being a lesbian in Glasgow. When you tell people, they must say, well, Gaddafi was a bastard, wasn't he?
I think it's a tremendously important thing that in 2012 that I should be allowed to say the words, I marry you. Marriage is one word we're not allowed to say, and equality appears to be the other word that we're not allowed to say in this country.
So that's different from a civil partnership?
Yeah, civil partnership is non-religious. So right. Heterosexuals, breeders, have two options. You can get married in a church, you can have a civil wedding, which is still a marriage, or you can have a humanist one. You can't have a civil partnership. So it's all...
I can't have a civil partnership?
No, you can't.
See, now you're campaigning.
Oh, well, I know that.
Now we've got you.
So you can have some of that I can't.
Yeah,
no.
Right.
Right, I'll get on the phone.
Barack Obama's public support for gay marriage has been hailed by activists, although polls show it could harm his re-election campaign. Newsweek branded Obama America's first gay president. Hello. What about George Washington? Stars and stripes on the same thing. 2 points to Bob. Matt, listen to this.
Money! It's a gas.
Matt, why are there now 104 billion reasons to hug a very wealthy hoodie?
It's Mark Zuckerberg,
yes,
who is the boss of Facebook, and this week they're going to sell shares in it, and they're going to put, I think it's worth something like £11 billion for so many 100 million shares. So something that doesn't actually exist, we can all have shares in, but we can have shares in something where we are the product. Because Facebook's whole point is that we go on there, share too much of our personal information, and then multinational companies can say, oh, right, you keep updating your Facebook status saying I'm feeling a bit peckish, so we'll put Big Mac adverts on your Facebook wall.
Is that what people put? I'm a bit... I mean, I don't do it. Is that what they put? I'm a bit peckish.
Well, yeah. it depends. This is the thing that men and women use it very differently, because men tend to say, I'm a bit peckish, I'm going to the football... You know, actual factual status updates. Women use it very differently. It's kind of an attention thing. So women will say things like, Donna has never felt so alone. Mary wonders why it's always her. And then you go on and say, are you all right? And you're like, I'm fine, I was just wanting attention.
I have a great spin-off idea from Facebook. It's called Going Outside and Meeting Actual People.
It's just showing off. It's all showing off. It's people just bragging about themselves, uploading pictures. I don't care. I'm not interested. I don't want to know you had a brilliant holiday. If you lost your luggage or were taken hostage, that's interesting. If you had a nice time and the weather was lovely, that's not interesting. I don't want to know about your wedding. Who cares about your wedding? It's not going to last. And you go on about... No, but then people go on about their kids and you think, oh, look, your kids are as ugly and stupid as everybody else's.
The guy who's the co-founder, Eduardo Saverin, has saved himself $39 billion in tax by moving to Singapore. He's renounced his American citizenship. Yeah. I know, but Singapore... I mean, I've been to Singapore. There's nothing much to do. If only there was some way he could keep up with his friends and family. Facebook has floated on the stock exchange in a deal which values it at around $104 billion. The FT said it was the flotation the world had been waiting for. The Guardian described it as a significant cultural moment, while The Telegraph took a whole page to explain what the internet is. There was controversy as Facebook founder Matt Zuckerberg attended the Wall Street launch wearing a hoodie. In 2010, Zuckerberg's story was turned into a film where he was forced to cut his arm off after trapping it under a boulder. Can I just say, I really hate it when my children put the DVDs in the wrong box.
That was an annoying film about the bloke who cut his arm off, wasn't it?
I met him, actually.
Did you?
I did,
what a Burke.
Obviously, that wasn't my opening question to him. 2 points to Matt. Susan, who thinks it's time to ditch our imperial past for a future that's kilometres better?
Yes. Now, this story it's all about perspective. So, for example, in the morning when I leave the house, I'm always very concerned about my left eyebrow because I have one long hair which can grow out at right angles. And I'm often concerned that it's sticking out and pointing at people when I should, in fact, be thinking, have you put your trousers on? And in the same way, Lord Howe, whilst we're all thinking about the Olympics and thinking, is there going to be crime, what about the transport, et cetera, has decided that the key is whether or not we're part of the imperial or the metric system. And he said that the most glaring omission from the Queen's speech was to not sort out the fact that we're part imperial, part metric.
Yeah.
And he said extraordinary things like the mix-up in imperial and metric causes confusion and it affects children's education and causes accidents.
Mm.
So, well, unless you're going into a shop and you say, can I have 35 tonnes of mints, thinking... 35 grams. I don't know any point at which mistaking a pint or a litre or a kilogram with anything else means you die. Now, I mean, I don't know what any of these measurements are. Anyway, I just do it by touch. You go into a fish shop and just touch a fish and say, that looks about right for four people. Admittedly, I'm banned from several supermarkets.
Apparently, what I loved is that Lord Howe fears that miles and pints make Britain look old-fashioned. And you think, dear God, this is an old man in a red cape who calls himself Lord.
And also, he's worried that when people come to the Olympics, what's going to confuse them about this country is, I wanted to get a litre of milk and they don't sell it. No, I'll tell you what's going to confuse them, that their ticket says the event starts at 3:00. And at 2:15, they're sitting on a replacement bus in Slough.
We're not going to confuse it that much. It's not like the top three positions in the Olympics are going to be, I don't know, gold, second and myrrh. It's not going to be...
It's what makes us charming.
Exactly.
They come over and you see them going straight to, let's go to a pub. Can we go to your pub? Could I have a pint of your beer? I'll have a pint of your beer. And how many of your pounds is that? 12.
But also, we're not ready to go fully metric. This country still hasn't got over that whole marathon Snickers transition. That's
Yeah, and what if there's a run on the meter? We'd be exposed to that, wouldn't we? If we stay outside of metrication, we'll be safe when the whole metric system collapses.
Lord Howe of... Is it
Aberavon.
Aberavon.
Mm. Is he wonderful. Welsh, is he? Geoffrey Howe?
I don't know.
You can't tell with a Tory, can you?
No.
Oh, yes, I'm Welsh, Bach.
Lord Howe of Aberavon has stated that Britain should finally complete the change from imperial to metric in time for the Olympics, for fear of Britain looking like a nation living in the imperial past. Lord Howe pointed out that you buy beer and milk in pints, but petrol in litres, which does make it very tricky to get the right ratios in certain cocktails.
I buy petrol in gallons. I don't know about anybody else.
Oh, this is his point. Yeah. Stop encouraging him.
That's what... Bob's right. It's what makes us interesting, isn't it?
Well, apparently the problem is the metric martyrs. Mm. And these are people who are willing to go to court for the right to sell things in pounds and ounces. You wait till those people find out about suffragettes and the civil rights movement. They're going to feel like proper dicks. At the end of round two, the scores are Jeremy and Bob have got 9 points, but in the lead are Matt and Susan with 10.
Excellent. Thank you.
Before we start round three, here's a cutting from the St Mary's Ealing Church Bulletin.
At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, What is Hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice.
And our thanks to Tabitha Lee for sending us that. Jeremy, have a listen to this. Jeremy, here's a question I prepared earlier. Who is setting sail for a digital future?
Oh, it's Blue Peter, which is going over to CBeebies. Thing is, Blue Peter's not been any good since... I mean, I think it was best when it was presented by people in their suits who were 50. And they would say, Hello, children, today I'm going to speak to you about history. In the past, kings and queens ran the world, but people didn't appreciate them, so they had to be killed. Now, here is Cynthia. Cynthia's been abroad and she's made a recording in a hot country. Hello, children. Here I am in a hot country. These clever fellows are making things with their hands. I fancy I might have a go at that. Whoops, I've ruined it. Never mind. What's that? His family are starving. Never mind. Give him a Blue Peter badge. And then it went to... And then they started thinking their mission was to teach children about hang gliding and survival skills. And the thing is about children's television, the only good children's television is when it's not aimed at children. That's why Tiswas was brilliant. Because CBeebies is all presented by sort of over-exuberant, unemployed actors who've been thoroughly CRB-checked, but no one has ever said to them, have you had a conversation with a child that didn't leave that child thinking, what are you talking about, you weirdo? I'm not a puppy. I'm a person. You don't have to do that funny voice with me, OK? I'm a human being. Talk to me normally, and I will respect you. And they have In the Night Garden, which you just know is a translation from German. It just had to be In Der Nacht Garden. You can tell it was dreamed up by acid-crazed neo-Nazis in a Munich squat. It's awful.
Jeremy, you know I present a programme on children's BBC.
Oh, you don't, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Do you put on the weird voice?
Yeah. My name's Miss Adventure and School of Silence. Come on, children, let's have fun.
Actually, I have a background in children's television myself, so that's all those lesbians who presented things to children. It's a strange thing.
See, they should have had more lesbians on... Because there was always this myth that Valerie Singleton was a lesbian, which wasn't true. If they'd had more lesbians on Blue Peter, they'd have made really good stuff. They wouldn't have been arsing around with bits of toilet rolling. You know, they'd have had drills and... They'd have been building outhouses.
That's what you do.
That's all right.
Yeah, you want a wedding? Build one.
Blue Peter and other BBC children's programmes will be dropped from BBC One and Two and shown exclusively on the CBBC and CBeebies channels. As part of the BBC cost-cutting initiative, some of Blue Peter's former sections are being farmed out to other BBC programmes. Next week on Question Time, in between panellists, David Dimbleby will show you how to make a working potato alarm clock. 2 points to Jeremy. Bob, who annoyed his accountant by coining it in?
Oh, he's my hero. He's a man called Robert Fitzpatrick. And he owed his accountant, and his argument was this, you know and I know, you don't deserve this money, but all right, I've got to pay it for you. Yes, I'm not going to disagree with the courts. I will pay it for you. The accountant goes to work, his wife phones him up and says, have you ordered a dozen big boxes? Well, no. Well, they've delivered them. Well, have a look what's in them. 10 pence pieces. And I thought, God bless you. Because that's what I would do many, many years ago. I had to pay someone 70 quid, and I knew that morally they weren't entitled to this money, and I paid them £70 in pound notes, right? those £70 notes had spent 2 weeks in the cat lit tray in my house. I would put in like 20 a day and I'd take them out and I'd put them on the radiator to dry, and then when I had 70 of them, I gave them to that man.
You know that money you owe me? It's fine. It's absolutely fine.
But also, I hadn't realised what a mealy-mouthed country we lived in.
It's illegal.
There's a coinage act of 1971. Yeah. And do you know the figures?
You can only pay up to £5 in tenpence pieces.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times I go to the shop.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, no. And I go in the big jar. I've got a jar on my radiator cover in my hall.
That's the money for the kids' operation, Bob.
And you can only pay up to £10 in 50 pence pieces, and I know this because I got a legal warning from an ungrateful young relative last Christmas, so... but it was 5 crates of coins. And the guy took the coins in his car. Mm. Can you imagine if that had overturned on the motorway? It'd be like getting 3 cherries on a one-armed bandit. It would have been the most fantastic thing. Robert Fitzpatrick was successfully sued by his accountant, Philip Lawrence, after he tried to pay an £804 bill by dumping it on Mr. Lawrence's lawn in small change. Mr. Lawrence complained that the coins weighed 166 kilos and did irreplaceable damage to his trousers. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings. The teams have brought along Mr. Hardy.
This was sent in by Rachel Mars, and it's from the Guardian newspaper online. Top 5 most viewed articles. It says 3, transgender journey facing the reality of surgery. 4, test your sausage knowledge.
Mr. Mills.
This is from Paul Rosen, and it's a symposium organised by the Centre for Applied Philosophy, Politics and Ethics at the University of Brighton. And the debate is, from whom should universities accept money and for what? And the keynote speaker is Deborah Cameron, I kid you not, the Rupert Murdoch Professor of Language and Communication.
Mr. Ford.
This is from Fiona Curry, and this is a clipping from the Kent and Sussex Courier. And this is an advert that says, do you want to break through your physical limits and help blind young people?
Ms. Kelman.
This is from Camilla Kingston, and it's an email from the chaplain of Robinson College, Cambridge. This Sunday at 6 p.m, the address at our chapel service will be given by Professor Kirkpatrick, who will be speaking about the afterlife. Hell, damnation and purgatory will be followed by drinks in the auditorium lounge. To which all are very welcome.
Let's take a look at the final score. Jeremy and Bob have got 13 points, but this week's winners are Matt and Susan with 14. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from The Nation sent in by Nick Viney.
Whilst Thai MPs were in session, a photograph of a semi-naked young woman appeared on the committee's projection screen. After investigating the source of the image, President Somsak has pledged to swiftly get to the bottom of it.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the News Quiz Extra were Jeremy Hardy, Bob Mills, Matt Ford and Susan Kalman. In the chair was Sandy Toxley, and the news was read by me, Neil Sleet. The chair's script was written by Gareth Gwynne, Simon Littlefield and Rodri Crooks, with additional material by Angela Barnes and Jack Bernhardt. The producer was Carl Cooper.